Hi everyone, we're back again with Radiant Health Radio. We're on episode 8, and I have someone on the line. We're going to be discussing teaching. That was just the last letter of my Radiant model. We've gone from letter R to letter T. And the first person that I had on my Radiant model was Nisa Salis from Texas. She did rebirth with me, and I have her again on the last podcast about Radiance. And she is a teacher from Dallas, Texas. She has an amazing, successful weight loss story, which I'm going to let her describe. She's a fitness coach and a nutrition specialist. So welcome to the call, Nisa. Thank you for coming on the call.
Hello, Aoife, Miss Irish Radiance. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's delighted to have you on. I've just been looking, everyone, at she was actually in the April issue of 2013 of Oxygen Magazine on page 140, and there's a really nice photo of you, Nisa, and this picture you're wearing a pink, very hot pink sports bra. It's so hot. And your transformation is amazing. Can you explain to the readers kind of what you went through and your story for that?
Oh, wow. Where do I start? Okay, so... As mentioned, I did show up in Oxygen Magazine. I'm very grateful for that. And I am currently a fitness trainer, nutrition specialist, as you mentioned. And I'm I've got a little bit of a story that I could share with everyone. And I share this not to say, look at me, look at me. I share this to say, if I've been able to accomplish these things, then anyone else definitely can. First and foremost, I'm the wife of a U.S. military veteran, and we've been together for 13 years. Early on, I gained a lot of weight. I went from a size 9 to a size 18 in probably 12 months after I met my husband. And that wasn't a lot of fun. I was pretty mortified. That was my first 60-pound weight gain. And I got married in my wedding dress, a size 18, and I wasn't very happy that day, so I decided that I would set a goal that I would lose some weight and that we'd have a second honeymoon. So we did that. I lost 30 pounds the first time, safely and naturally, with exercise and nutrition. We went on our second honeymoon in Puerto Rico, and we returned back to Dallas, Texas, in the United States, and I just kind of gave in to... just horrible eating. My favorite foods were nachos. I don't know if anyone in Europe has ever had Tex-Mex nachos, but...
Well, if you had nachos, I don't know if they're Texas. They might be, like, extra large nachos.
Oh, my gosh. When you have nachos, you have very salty corn chips that have no nutrition whatsoever, dripped with some... thick cheese, and then, of course, you have to put on your sour cream, your guacamole, whatever. So I went from this healthy way of eating and this tremendous weight loss success on my own. I was so excited at the time to I didn't really have a purpose or a reason to lose weight, so I was eating horribly, and then I discovered I had some tumors. So what happened was I did something that I wouldn't recommend. I ignored what the doctor said to operate, and I just said, you know, I'm going to do this by myself. So for the better part of 7 years, as a stressed out, newlywed school teacher, you know, and the wife of a combat veteran who'd served in a war, here I was, and I had these tumors, and they grew. And I ran away from the doctors, and the more I ran away from the doctors, the more my tumors grew to a mass, get this, Aoife, of 10 pounds. 10 pounds. That's the size of a baby and a half.
Yeah, big baby.
I had, at the time, I had a good sense of humor. I'm pretty positive most of the time, so I called it my fake baby, and I just played this little game of cat and mouse with nutrition, and I became my very own science experiment, really, when it came to nutrition. I noticed that certain times I would eat something healthy for me or nutritious, and my body would transform, my belly would start to shrink, or at the time I had anemia, and I could tell that I was stronger when I had more protein. It was just, there are no words to describe it. It was a surreal journey. Fast forward 7 years from that beginning to the day I had to go into the hospital. This week marks the four-year anniversary of my near-death experience. I was taken to the hospital in Dallas, and a team of five doctors assembled. They removed a 10-pound tumor from my uterus. I had a partial hysterectomy. Guess how many blood transfusions I had that night, Aoife?
I should know this because I've heard the story like that from
Anthony. That's okay. You don't have to memorize. It was definitely more than one. In fact, it was 8. And I was in ICU on February 21st, almost 4 years ago. It was very, again, the words I can say are surreal. It was incredible because my life was getting ready to slip away. My blood pressure was 35 for 12 hours. And I know that you're a nurse and you've worked with people and an eating disorder nurse. And by the way, I was anorexic for a while there. I was attempting to not eat to see if I could shrink the tumor, and the tumor just grew. And so I found that pretty interesting. I thought, what is the connection between me not eating and not nourishing my body and this tumor growing? So that would be a good question I probably would have for you at some other show or some other time. But, okay, so here I am almost dead.
Yeah.
And my husband comes in, he signs this document for me to have a central line placed at my heart. I was scared, and once that moment happened, I gained strength and stability. They were able to go in and operate a second time. And then I was wheeled to my original room that I began. And I'm in my room, in my hospital room, in my bed by myself. And I'm saying, oh, goodness. I said, God, Lord Jesus, whoever is in charge of this universe, I am so sorry for what I've done. And I will never take my health or my life for granted. And it was amazing because I had this beautiful moment where my creator, the one that just is in charge of everything, said, well, what do you want for the rest of your life? And I said, really? Wow, you know, I'm being rewarded, although I should be punished.
Oh my gosh,
I should be punished. No, it was like, okay, my child, what do you want? You've hit the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. I want you to decide what you want for the rest of your life. And I said, okay, well, I'll be bold. I want to be a bikini model. Okay, so here I am with this incredible gash cut from 3 inches above my navel down to my pubic. I've got these horrible staples. I look like Frankenstein, some kind of an experiment. And I'm in pain, and I'm hungry, and I'm just, I hadn't eaten for days, and at that point, I've had Jell-O and soup, and I'm asking God, could I become a bikini model? And I said, you know what? I have a good reason for this. I want to get healthy. I want to stay healthy. I'm 35. I'm way too young to die. But more importantly, when I've received that goal of having the best body of my life, I want to help others. So that's kind of how it happened. It wasn't hunky-dory from there. I was stressed out after that. I was studying to become an administrator or a principal of an elementary school. So guess what I did, Aoife?
What?
I went from a size 9 back to a size 18. Okay, so here I am, a size 18. I had just graduated with my master's degree. I was really, truly, I thought, close to death was the worst part of my life. But here I found myself. I had no job. I was highly, highly qualified with a master's degree, and I couldn't even get a teaching position in my school district because they were laying off teachers. My husband was going through some symptoms of post-traumatic war syndrome, and he and I aren't getting along very well. And then I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm like, who is that? I don't recognize her.
Yeah.
Okay, so all these crazy feelings, and I recalled the prayer that I had a short 10 months prior that I was going to do something better, and I was going to get in shape and become a bikini model. So here I go on Facebook, and I'm connected to a pretty well-known individual on Facebook in the fitness industry, and she was hosting an event in Florida, and I thought, wow. Maybe this is my chance. And I got scared, Aoife.
Yeah, like anyone would.
I got scared. I turned off. I logged out of Facebook, shut the computer as fast as I could, And I just kind of walked away. And I said to myself, okay, the next time that I see this opportunity, this advertisement for this event, I think I might just go for it. I'll kind of leave it up to my creator, because that's kind of strange. I'm a size 18, but yet I'm going to go and get fit and become a bikini model.
I love that.
That was a long stretch. Okay, so what happened a few days later? What do you think happened? I got on Facebook. I saw the event, and I said, you know what? I'm going to follow through. So I did the application, and as I'm filling it out, it was like, okay, why do you want to learn to become a trainer? What will you do once you got your certification? And I used your generic, oh, I'm going to help others. Oh, well, I would be better picked than other women because of this, this, and that. And something said to me, Aoife, tell the truth.
Yeah.
And I was like, the truth? The 10-pound tumor truth?
Yeah.
No, this lady that's picking up my application is not going to believe me. I mean, what would you say? You get this application and this woman says she had a 10-pound tumor and she almost died. In Texas, we have, we're known for what they call tall tales. Tall tales are like lies or stories. This lady's going to think that I'm crazy. Oh, I'll never forget. I went ahead and submitted the application anyways, and it must have taken about a day or two. I got the email that I was accepted. I was like, no way. Okay, so I went to this empowerment seminar. We got in the car, drove a very long way from my home, from Dallas, Texas to Miami, Florida. And when I got there, I met 19 other beautiful, intelligent women from, some of them were trainers and physically gorgeous and just a little bit intimidating for me. But I met women that were a decade older than me, that were smoking hot. And met a couple of other women. One other woman was, you know, she was a little on the heavy side. So I kind of looked at her, and I took a deep breath and I said, oh, thank you. I'm not the biggest one in the room. So needless to say, I was a little bit empowered. And I said, you know, I don't know if this workout method works. I don't know the science behind it or anything, but I do know that these people are incredibly nice, and they were very supportive of me and listening to my crazy tumor story. And I decided one thing. When I got back to Dallas, I couldn't control the fact that I didn't have a job. I couldn't control some of the little things in my marriage to my husband. And I couldn't control all the hospital bills that I had. By the way, I cost $138,000.
My God.
My insurance covered 90% of that, but still, when you're not working, you've got bills coming at you from a hospital stay that can bring you down really quick.
Yeah.
And so, Aoife, the only thing I could do was mark on my calendar Monday, January 24th of 2011, my first workout, 6 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. I could control that.
Short. Half an hour.
I said, you know what? I can do this. I dusted off my 5-pound weights that I had in the closet. I said, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to do it. So that's kind of how it began.
Yeah, and then now here you are, Aoife. I mean, to think that you've been through that transformation is just crazy when you see your photos nowadays. And, you know, you put up, I think the other day on Facebook, you put up one of you on a motorbike in a bikini. And I was like, wow, she looks amazing.
Oh, thank you so much, Aoife. Well, first of all, I just miss you. I'll never forget meeting you and reconnecting with you. And I miss you dearly, so I may have to go to visit your side of the world. Of course,
yes.
You can come here. I think you'll get a kick off of us over here. We have our own language and our own fun.
I'm going out for the lies and the nachos.
Come get some nachos. Oh, and some margaritas. But I just want to say, if it is surreal. I did do that photo shoot on the motorcycle in a bikini a week before my 39th birthday.
Woo!
Woo!
amazing. That's amazing. It's such an inspiration, though. It really is, Nisa, to see how far. And I wanted all the listeners to hear this, is just how far you've come. This is what I'm talking about, teaching. It's like, it's not just the fact that Nisa's a teacher, but it's more to do with the fact that she's been through this journey, and here she is now teaching other people how to survive when they're at hitting rock bottom, like Nisa did, and they're just in that mindset. And, like, you know, you had that fat girl mindset where you're kind of like, I'm not the biggest girl in the room, that's a good thing. That's totally, you know what I mean, in your own mindset of kind of, like, thinking, being very social, space aware of everything going on around you, and just, you know, being aware of your own body more so than you need to be, really. And that's why I want everyone to hear Nisa this week, and just, you know, take notes, guys, on what she's been through. And, you know, you don't have to be through a weight loss story. It can be for myself. I mean, not a lot of people know this, but I actually have bipolar, and I have gone from that depression deep down, and trying to get out of that mindset, and bringing it back up, and just making sure I'm eating nutritionally healthy. You know, I'm back trying, even though I don't feel like getting up some days, just getting out of bed and doing little things like that. And it's just, it's hard, you know, for the motivation side of it, to do that and to come, to start whatever journey you're starting, to do that and to start from the beginning. And, you know, and like Nisa, what I love about you is that you said to yourself, I'm going to have this crazy idea of being a bikini model. And, like, you know, a lot of people say to me, if you're too mad, you have these notions of doing this and doing that, why don't you just want to be normal? And I'm like, I don't want to be normal.
Yes.
I want to be something else. I want to do what I want to do.
Oh,
and I think that's great that you made that choice, really. And you did, you were a bikini model on stage. You did do fitness competitions, didn't you?
Yes. I did two on my 39th
birthday. Yeah, amazing. And the photos for that, we need to get those photos up on my Facebook or something like that, so all the listeners can see them too. Yeah. And what I find really interesting is that you talked about, like, you know, you're helping others. So you're kind of like, what I would always say is that, like, you learn something and then you're teaching others for what you've been through, from your mistakes. You know, you're not, they're not learning things from rock bottom again. They're learning things from your level of education, really. And so you go on to do this now, Nisa. Do you want to talk a little bit about maybe what you're offering for the listeners today?
Definitely. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say that I've actually written a couple of things. One is a gift that I want to email anyone that's listening that just needs what I call a little bit of motivation, a little bit of hope.
I'm going to email you, by the way. I want this.
Sounds good. I call it my fit tip guide. So you may email me at Nisa Salas Fitness. That's N as in Nancy, I, S as in Sam, fitness, FITNESS, at gmail.com. Wherever you are in the world, whatever your life is going on right now, it doesn't matter if you're at the fifth part of your life or you're at the very beginning, please understand that I've been there, done that, and I'm still doing that walk every single day. Fitness is a mindset. So you want to get a complimentary free copy of my Fit Tips Guide by emailing me, and put that in the heading to your email, so that way I know exactly what you want. And also, I have written an ebook. It's called Teaching Yourself to Get and Stay Fit. I will briefly go over the highlights and the bullet points of that ebook, but I will tell you that it's available for purchase, and it's $19.95 in American dollars. And Aoife, do you know the translation to?
No, I should have been better prepared. I think it's about 12 euro, guys. Or, like, you know, 11 pounds, maybe.
Sure, sure. We'll find out by the time you email me with your request how much it will be in euros. But it's called Teaching Yourself to Get and Stay Fit. It's an ebook that I personally wrote, and just kind of connects the dots on how to go from 0 or 50 to 100 or more. Because you want to be your best version of yourself. And again, like Aoife said, please do it without having to get sick like I did. Or let's just say you have been sick in some capacity, either have an eating disorder or, you know, a near-death experience or just whatever it might be. As long as you are still functioning and you're still alive and you have a good sense of yourself, then the sky's the limit. So So that you're just going to email me with that request for the ebook. And if you'd like, put teaching yourself to get and stay fit. Once you've emailed me your request, we will go ahead and have you send out, or I'll send out an invoice for PayPal for $19.95, and we'll get that to you. So let me go over the bullet points of that. First of all, fitness is a mind game, okay? So it starts in your head, and we want to set goals to get those results. We want to set both short and long term. And we have to do a little bit of work. We have to actually get on the scale, and we have to use the tape measure so we can measure ourselves. We want to have a good baseline measurement, because what happens is we get into a program maybe a week or 2 weeks or longer, and changes are already happening. And if we don't record those, then we can't celebrate those. Do you agree, Eva?
Yeah, definitely.
I'll never forget the first time I lost 30 pounds. I think I took maybe one photograph of my weight loss. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
One. No. I have one picture of me the first time after I lost weight, but oh well. And we want to...
Were you on the photos now? You doing bicycles and like in bikinis?
Yeah. I'm looking up for all that now, aren't I? Absolutely. So fitness is a mind game, and it's always going to be that. You know, whether you're at the beginning, the middle, the end, whatever, you're always going to have to work on your thoughts and your attitude towards your body and your abilities to do whatever you want. All right, so the next one is to find a supportive network. Find someone that believes in you. It could be a friend, a sister. It could be your eating disorder nurse.
Yay.
Yes. Or the program that you're in. What I love about Aoife is she's very humble. She probably has points where she has to be stern with some of your patients, but it's out of love. It's that tough love, okay? So you want to find somebody that's supportive. This was huge for me. I had, and I will divulge it in my ebook, by the way, I have a lovely person who raised me, and she was my aunt, and she has an alcohol problem. So here I am in the hospital getting ready to have my operation, and my aunt calls the hospital drunk. She calls my hospital room on the telephone, and she starts gossiping. Can you imagine how horrified I was?
Yeah.
I had a 10-pound tumor. 10-pound tumor. Yeah. My aunt is inebriated, and then she goes and calls my mother, and my mother calls the hospital, and my mother's flustered, and honestly and truly, my mother is a closet alcoholic herself, and I didn't know it at that given moment. But I have my drunk aunt on the phone calling me while I'm sick, and then I have my mother who'd had some alcohol beverages calling me. I was just beside myself. And at one point when I finally just said, you know, I need to take better care of myself. When I got back from that empowerment retreat in Miami, and I am a size 18, I went straight to my aunt's house. And I said, I love you, but I can't do this anymore. I said, you know, you're a very important person in my life. And I need you to do me a favor. I need you to stop calling me while you're drunk. And I said, I will definitely be happy to talk to you when you're sober. If, you know, I'd love to spend some time with you. Maybe we could do some positive activities together, go shopping or watch a movie. But I just can't do this anymore. And I hated doing that, but when I left, there was this huge weight that lifted off my shoulders. I would have hoped that my aunt would have kind of straightened up a little bit and contacted me. To be honest, Aoife, she didn't, and that's okay. I have to love her where she's at, and likewise. I went on to lose 60 pounds, Aoife, after I put my
foot in. You could have had that anger in you, and you were still, you know, working it out.
Oh, my gosh. So that's huge. But I just wanted to share that deep story we all have. You know, negative people and negative things in our life, we just have to kind of move on. All right, so let's go on to the next bullet point I have here. You do want to remove negativity from your life, and that includes in your own emotions. So if you had an old experience with someone who hurt you badly, or you're still harboring some kind of anger against yourself, I've got a great activity for you to do. You're going to take out a piece of paper and a pen, and you're going to write a note, write a letter, okay, either to yourself or to the other person who hurt you. And then you're going to take that piece of paper once you've written all your thoughts, and you're going to destroy it, okay? So that's just something really simple that anyone that's listening can do. I've been through a lot in my adult life, even prior to the tumor. I was an adult, young adult alcoholic, and I also attempted suicide about 3 to 5 times, I believe. I never really counted. And so, as you can imagine, I harbored anger and guilt, and I had to do this activity, and I had to forgive myself, okay? And then, of course, I went through the anorexia, and I had to forgive myself. There's no sense in reminding yourself day by day by day of what you've done wrong, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this, if I can do it, I know you can. Grab your sheet of paper, do it now. Get that pen. Write a small note. It doesn't have to be crazy elaborate. You want to take that note, crumple it up, throw it in the trash, put it, you know, another thing you can do is take that piece of paper and you can put it in the sink, the kitchen sink, and set it on fire. Be very careful, please. Don't burn down your house.
Fire safety.
Or if you have a fireplace, put it there. It doesn't really matter how you destroy it. You're just going to feel a huge, tremendous relief. Okay?
Yeah.
The other thing you want
to
do
is... Do it every day if you have to.
I'm sorry, say it again?
I said do it every day if you have to.
Yes. And yes, I have spent time where I've redone the same activity over the same letter sometimes. It doesn't do any good to emotionally zap you, okay?
Yeah.
Here's another thing that I did. I got rid of my old clothes. So here I am, a size 18, shrinking down to 14, 12. There's a tendency to want to hold on to the size 18 pants. Why?
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Well, compare yourself.
Yeah, well, there's a tendency to say, oh, what if I gain weight again?
No.
So what you want to do?
You can burn them in the sink too.
No, basically, get rid of those old clothes. Let's just say you were once a size 9, and then you've gotten up to maybe a 12 or a 13, 14, whatever it is. Go ahead and get rid of a size 9. Get rid of what does not serve you. It's going to free up your closet and your drawer space. And not only that, it's going to free your emotional space, because once you've begun your program, your body's going to change. By that time, you will be so excited, you will not want to get into old clothes that are no longer in style. Yeah. All right? Mm-hmm. Finally, you want to treat yourself like a small child. You want to be kind. So I don't think that any of our listeners would ever yell at a 5-year-old or scream or belittle or put down a 5-year-old. Why don't you do this when times get hard? I want you to treat yourself as if you were 5 years old.
Yeah, that's a great one. I like that one. Yeah.
Talk to yourself. You know, treat yourself like a little kid. And even when you're doing correct, treat yourself like a little kid. You're like, I'm so proud of you. Good job.
I think people find that quite hard to do. I know I find that extremely hard to do, is to be like gratitude towards myself for what I can do and what I have done. So I think that's something that, like, for me, I know I'll have to work on, but I think a lot of people might struggle with that a little bit. Especially the girls I work with eating disorders, they wouldn't see kind of, you know, how far they've come.
Uh-huh.
And they're always belittling themselves, and it's a very negative talk towards themselves. So, you know, if any of the girls are listening now to the call, I'd just say, you know, like, I believe in you guys, that you can do better than this, and, you know, keep pushing yourself and be nice and kind to yourself.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I mentioned a while ago about just simply getting out of bed. Okay, so let's just say it's one of those days. It's like, oh, I'm dreading the day, it's going to be sunny, and I don't have anything good to think about. Watch this. If you had the simple goal of getting out of bed, well, there you have it. That's proactivity. Then actually, when you get out of bed, when your feet hit the floor and you stand up, just applaud yourself. Really, just say, you know, I'm proud of you. And keep it simple. And it sounds silly. It sounds so silly.
No, it's good, though. I mean, these are the little things that work, you know. So these are the small things that people do have to do when they're starting from the very bottom and trying to rebuild themselves from the bottom. I know that, like, for me, getting out of bed in those depressive times was the hardest thing, but I was motivate myself and I wouldn't give up on myself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was just one of those things that, like, at the back of my mind all the time was a motivational voice telling me to get up.
Yeah,
and, like, applaud myself when I did get up, and it's not silly. I don't think it is, anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, life is a roller coaster. We have our moments where everything is just great, uphill. You meet the top, you're there, you've accomplished whatever it is, and then down you go the other side of that, that little, you know, descent. And it can be sometimes hard. Life can be a challenge.
Yeah.
And so you just want to say, you know what, I'm getting ready to go up to another peak, but I'm going to celebrate while I'm here in the valley. I'm going to celebrate, simple things like getting out of bed. Or today, you notice, I colored my hair, and I just
love you. Can we get a picture? I want a picture of that, okay? For my Facebook, so everyone knows what we're talking about.
We can do that. I am a natural extrovert, and my personality is one that I love to have fun. That's just something that motivates me. And all my life, I have been told I have very family members that have different personalities than me, that are more into neutral tones and seriousness. And so I heard that all my life, that I was this weird person. Literally, they told me that I was a weird kid and I didn't fit in and I would never fit in. And so that's detrimental. That can be hard on someone. And I just went to, about a year ago, I went to a self-development seminar, and I learned that there are four different styles of personalities in the world, and one of them is mine. And people like me just brighten the party.
Yeah.
That's it. That's our whole job. There's nothing wrong with us. There is a time and a place for this type of personality. So once I did dye my hair this color, and I chastised myself so horrible. So today I said, you know, I'm going to do it, and I don't have to apologize.
Yeah.
My hair.
No, it looks lovely. It really does. It looks really nice. I'm excited for everyone to see that. But just going back real quick, I wanted to just talk about what you said about being in kind of the valley and celebrating being in the valley and stuff like that. And it's kind of weird because I was thinking about it, and I was thinking, like, what I learned a lot was to, if I am depressed, that it's okay to be depressed and it's okay to, you know, be hurt and just be in that state. And know that maybe things aren't great, but they will change. And I just would say that for anyone out there is that, like, you have to learn from these depressed moments. There's something within them at all times. And that's quite comforting to know. So if you can go on and think like that, your mindset will start to change about it. And I'm not saying that they won't occur again. I'm just saying that when they do occur, you'll be better prepared for them. And maybe you won't feel as low as you had done. You'll still probably feel low, but you'll be able to cope with it a bit better.
Beautiful. You just got me to my next bullet point in my book, actually. Let me read that. It says, celebrate your results along the way while forgiving the little slip. So the little slip up. Okay, so let's just say you get started on whatever it is, either more nutritious eating, or you're drinking more water, or you're taking your vitamins. One day you forget your vitamins. Okay, so are you just going to give up forever and stay in that valley and just say, oh, you know, kick yourself around? No, not at all. You need to know in advance that you're going to mess up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say, you know, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to miss my workout, or I'm going to not eat my nutritious meal, or I'm going to want to not eat at all, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to be rough, but I'm going to be okay. And even then, if you put into place an accountability partner or an action step, I'm pretty sure that you do that with your program. I can only imagine the wonders that you do with your patient. But, for example, if you need to call your eating disorder nurse or whatever treatment plan that you're on that you've got in place, go back to that. Use that as your stronghold to get you where you need to be. Call a friend, call a parent, and just say, you know, I'm just having a hard time. Because people love you. People love you. We're not here to be an island.
Yeah.
We're not. Beautiful. There's not one human being that's born to be alone and not function with people that support and love them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and forgive yourself. Forgive yourself and move on. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's quite hard for people who are perfectionists. I mean, obviously, I work with quite a lot of perfectionism because it's a trait of eating disorders. And I have a bit of perfectionism myself, and I would be like, it's all or nothing. And you just have to really, I mean, our friend, Alexandra Wilson, the fitness model, she would say, like, to me, she'd text me saying, slow and steady wins the race, Aoife. Just make sure you're going slow and steady all the time. It's not a good one, because I have a tendency to, you know, want results, and I know a lot of my clients think that would be the exact same as me, so I recognise that trait in them, and I think that's really important to just remember. I have to remind myself almost every day of it, of being so steady and forgiving yourself for any slip-ups that are there, and not, you know, going off the rails when there is one maybe slip-up, and it's not enough or nothing thing.
That's really good. I like that. Slow and steady. And slow and steady to me also means doing the small actions that produce results. So, for example, I tend to drink a lot of water in the morning because, you know, while I'm asleep, I'm dehydrating, basically. I'm in a fasted state. But, for example, I could miss a morning where I haven't drank my water. And as soon as I think of it, it might be noon. So at noon, I will go and grab a water container, a water jug, and just drink. My goal is a gallon of water per day. Okay, so is it against, is it against any policy that I didn't start drinking my water at 7 a.m.? Not at all. So, you know, just forgive yourself. Say, okay, it's not a big deal. I'll get to it as soon as I can.
Yeah.
Little things, little baby steps. Wonderful. Okay, and finally, I have one more bullet point here, and it's to find a reason to get better. Find a reason. So, okay.
Oh, I really like that one, Aoife. That's my favorite one.
Oh, I love it. So, for example, I had a rough childhood. You know, we've heard that. And my parents weren't very loving. I had a rough early adulthood. All these things have happened to me. So, you know, it'd be easy to say, poor me. Who am I? Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. And I'm just going to stay overweight or malnourished. Or I'm getting, oh, this is a big one I used to have. I'm getting old. And I'm laughing because in a few months I will be 40.
I'm still sitting on motorbikes in bikini.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you have no idea. I've already got things worked out. But for my 40th, you just wait. It's going to be huge. But the long and short of it is whatever excuses, and I hate to call on that, but it's true, we all have, well, this happened to me, and poor me, and I don't think I am worthy of a bikini body, or I don't think I'm worthy of healthy food, or any of those things. Those are just thoughts, believe it or not, in our own head. They generate in our head, and if we choose, they can stay in our mind. Or we can say thank you to those negative thoughts, and I have a reason to get fit. Or healthy, fill in the blank for whatever that means for you. And ultimately, you might have to be kind of creative. You might have to reach outside of yourself. For me, being healthy and being fit reminds me of the best version of myself, because when I was a baby, my grandmother was my matriarch. She was my mom when my mother could not be a mom to me. Mm-hmm. And although my mother and I are not close now, and actually we don't have any kind of relationship, unfortunately, at the moment, which is fine. We have to love each other where we're at. But I think, oh, gosh, my grandmother's smiling down right now, looking at me, saying, look at you, baby. And that's a profound reason for me to stay in shape. I was 8 when my grandmother died of breast cancer. And she was 52. That's way too young. Way too young. Of course, I could just stay stuck and say, I'm getting old, and my grandmother had cancer, and she died when I was 8. You know, I could focus on that. Or I could say, I'm getting on that motorcycle in a bikini on my 39th birthday, and I'm going to do a rockin' photo shoot. And I'm going to do my personal best in honor of my grandmother, who loved me so much. So, again, I have to be creative. It sounds funny, but use your imagination. Maybe you have a child. Maybe you have an aging parent. Maybe you have a
a boyfriend or you want a boyfriend. Maybe you're single. Maybe
you I don't think you do anything for months.
There you go. Maybe you have a spouse. You know, whatever your life situation is, it doesn't even have to really be. It could be just for yourself. You know? Again, you could pretend you're a five-year-old child. How would you feed a five-year-old child? Wouldn't you take a five-year-old child out for some exercise at the park? Simple little things. Wouldn't you go swimming with your five-year-old child? So treat yourself with kindness and respect. And that's just basically a wrap-up of teaching yourself how to get and stay fit. What do you think about that, Eva?
I love that. I want everyone to get on and get that. They have to get it.
Well, you know what? Every time I talk to you, it's just like, wow. It's almost as if we don't even have a mile between us.
Yeah, I know, and you're all the way in Texas, and I'm in Ireland. It's crazy.
Thank goodness for technology.
And, I mean, there's so many points, Lisa, that we could go on, and I'm sure that we will at some point and discuss them another time.
Well, I really appreciate you, and I am so honored that you considered me as the one to do the letter T for teaching.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for being honest. So I'll let you go, because I know you're running off to a client now.
Yes. And so, again, anyone can reach out to me. If you want, you can get that Fit Tip Guide, or you can go ahead and for $19.95 in American dollars, teaching yourself to get and stay fit. If you just want to email me just to say hello or even to respond to this podcast, what did you resonate with? What are some ways that we could enhance this story? Or, you know, if you have a question about your own particular fitness plan or nutrition plan, I'm here at nisasalasfitness@gmail.com. So, and you know what? I just said gmail.com, didn't I? I also have a website. It's nisasalasfitness.com. Okay? So you can kind of look at that, browse that. I'm kind of tweaking it in certain areas, so bear with me if it's a little under construction every now and then. And I'm also on Facebook. And I'm so excited. Thank you so much, Aoife.
You're welcome, Aoife. And you'll be tagged in this Facebook with the status with me. So everyone can see the page that way.
Okay. Well, I hope everyone has a wonderful day. Be blessed and be well.
Bye.
Bye-bye.